Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So we always absolutely despise doing the intros, but it's my turn this week, so...
So this is the intro, I guess.
This is the intro, and welcome, oh welcome, which we hate saying, to Goes Without Saying with Seffi and Wing. We're talking this week about productivity culture, the idea that we all have to be kind of hustling girl bosses, and we all think, fuck that. I even just did a little middle finger that you can't see. So we're talking about busyness, the pressures to be creating in this world, capitalism, of course, and I hope you love it.
Okay, so this first message, well, actually, before we start, should we quickly say, not even quickly, I think we should really let this resound, a massive resounding thank you to everyone who sends messages, like, every week.
Yeah.
It's like you're here every week.
Thank you. Genuinely, from the bottom of our deep, dark hearts, thank you.
Deep, dark hearts. So this person said, they said that their biggest problem with productivity culture, etc., is that rest is seen as unproductive and we are constantly told to be productive. They said, I worked really hard at school and was known as the productive girl or the smart girl. And any time that I was resting or I hadn't revised properly, it was like an outcry. There was so much pressure to keep up that reputation I had earned slash been given. I thought that was interesting because I feel like also one of the biggest things with productivity is that it all comes back often to identity. So before we started recording, we were mildly discussing, not to give away all of our eggs, you know, straight away.
Yeah.
But like we were mildly just tiptoeing around the idea of like what we're going to talk about in this episode, blah, blah, blah. And we were saying everyone's resounding heavy together, the same sentiments being shared as usual. You're a guilty, guilty bunch. And everyone, well, Seffi said, and it all comes back to capitalism. Like, yeah, it's all capitalism. Like, that's what everyone's saying. And then I thought, it is capitalism. But I also think it's the symptom of capitalism that always brings us back to identity.
Ooh, I love it.
And it's like, yes, it's important that you are, like, producing. But because to be productive means you are worthy, and if you are unproductive you have no worth.
It's ego. It's the capitalism convinces you that you must tie up your entire being with one specific thing or a couple specific things that really neatly tie into who you are, when actually it's like you can change, you can be fluid, it's fine. We keep telling you guys this. Don't know why it's not going in for any of us, including me.
But also it's like if the pressure is on being productive and if the pressure is from capitalism, then there would be no problem with you being super productive. And if nobody ever found out, that would be okay. You'd be happy. But no. Not only do you have to be productive, you have to be seen as productive.
You have to be publicly productive.
Yeah.
It's no good being productive in private.
Yeah. It's like you wouldn't be happy if you were getting things done in private. You wouldn't be happy enough. That doesn't satisfy you. You need to be seen.
But this is the thing that, I don't know, I've been trying to really flip this recently with, if I'm happy with the work I'm doing in private, I don't give a fuck, but you do give a fuck. The real happiness comes when you can be happy with your work and with your life and with everything, with who you are, without an audience. Because in reality, the audience aren't there. They don't actually exist. You're thinking about some specific people. You might have a vague idea of who's watching you, but really no one's watching you. It's the imagined audience thing. So be happy with your work in private, because it is private for the most part. No one's really thinking about you.
Yeah, everyone's too busy thinking about themselves, being thought about by other people that aren't thinking about them. They're thinking about themselves, thinking about other people that are thinking about themselves.
And in the short amount that you do cross people's mind in a day, it will be like things you've said, a tiny little thing they see on the internet. Oh yeah, did you remember that thing? Do you remember that thing? It's not really, well, let me just get out my book and analyse their entire life. What are their finances? Don't really like that decision they made recently. Oh, their boyfriend's not that good. That's not happening. That's just you.
And also, even if it was, I think I said this to you, Sophie, the other day, like, it's that classic thing that you get told of, like, well, you know, they don't know the truth about you, so as long as you know the truth, that's fine. Like, it doesn't matter what others think of you, it matters what you think of you. It doesn't matter if they know you, you know you. And I said the other day, and I think it's really true, that the problem that people find isn't that people are like, oh no, like, they've got the wrong, like, everyone thinks that I'm blah 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 blah. It doesn't make you feel better when people say, okay, but you know you. Because actually, most people don't know themselves.
Yeah.
So it's fine to say, oh, it doesn't matter what they think of me, as long as, you know, I know me, I know me. But it's like, well, you haven't got to know yourself at all. So the problem isn't that you're worried about what other people think of you. The problem is that you don't even know what you think of you. Because you haven't given yourself a chance to get to know yourself beyond what you want your identity to be as this, like, amazing, quote-unquote, smart girl or productive girl, like this person said, for example. Like, how really, like, do you know yourself? Probably not. How do you know yourself in this world? I don't think it's possible.
Because all of the things that form your identity were carefully given to you through kind of cartoons, through lessons at school, through your parents' past jobs and like sort of failed identities as well, and like failed hopes and dreams. So really, you're just some weird amalgamation of all the things you were fed. And now you're kind of here going, fuck, okay, now I need to act on all these things. Well, I liked drawing at school, so now I'm going to be an artist. It's like, bring it down, bring it down. What do you enjoy? Why do you enjoy it? It's fine. You don't need to get wrapped up in things that you enjoyed 2 years ago, therefore you must enjoy them now.
So you've done a bit of reflecting recently.
Yeah, I have.
Would you care to share with the crowds?
It's been really good. I think a lot of our episodes recently have focused on this theme of identity, who are you authentically, capitalism is fucking us all, this kind of theme. And I guess this episode is kind of the fucking one where we're gonna go into it.
Antithesis.
Because I think it came to a bit of a breaking point for me personally, and I had to go off the internet, which was really nice. It wasn't some big dramatic, like, I had a breakdown, need to leave the internet, like, get away from me. It was just kind of like, I actually need to not be confused with the caricature version of myself for a bit and just actually live in my life. Because I think it's quite tempting, I don't know, to with everyone's online kind of avatars, as the old people say, kind of get confused between that and then yourself, and that kind of becomes who you embody in your daily life, rather than that should be a peripheral version of yourself, a projection of yourself that is kind of external from you. And you have a great life anyway. You can, like, your tangible life is fun and filled with things you like, but you also have a thing. But I think I was just feeling myself getting really lost with work and performance, really. I think just complete performance.
Yeah.
So you kind of forced me to take a step back, which was so nice.
I really did. I said, wouldn't it be a nice idea if you had, like, and not even away from the internet, it was like, and stop, like, trying to create something.
Yeah.
Like, stop looking for, like, an achievement in something, or stop looking, do you know what I mean? Like, just stop the production.
Yeah.
And, like, and move away from
the bullshit. It was so nice of you, because it wasn't even like it reached some big boiling point, but I remember I texted you, like, about a week ago now, I guess, being like, I was not happy with the last episode, just really kind of, was that it?
We just recorded. Yeah, we just recorded, and you said, I feel really off.
And I was like, I'm not happy with it. Yeah. Like, no. What a nightmare person to record a podcast with. They text you, I don't like any of that. All of that's gone. And also, when I edited it, fucking great episode.
It's a great episode, yeah.
Pure insecurity, pure self-doubt. No. I messaged you being like, I'm not happy with that at all. And you were like, right.
I rang you straight away.
Yeah, you did. That was nice. And I was on a little walk.
And then we hung up, do you remember? And I rang you back 5 minutes later and said, I know we came to a conclusion, but I've got something else to add. So basically what happened was, we'd had a whole thing about, I was like, you just need to go away and just, like, take time off of everything, like, and stop producing and stop, like, devoting your life to everything else but yourself, blah blah blah. Came to a beautiful conclusion. So I feel so much better, I'm so excited, blah blah blah. And then I thought, oh, I have had a part in this, in that I've been like, I'm so busy. And it's a bit annoying. It's just a bit of a gross thing. I screenshotted a message that someone sent us because we, okay, right, I'm really exploding, got so much to say. So we, Sefi and I talk often about exactly what this person said. So this person said, the worst thing about the productivity culture is the bragging. I'm so much more exhausted than you. I hate my life more than you. And Sefi and I talk about this all the time because it's like any time like one of us says, oh, I'm busy, it's like, apologies, but I have to announce that I'm busy because I'm massively busy right now. And it's like stressful and etc. blah, blah, blah. But also like, fuck busyness, basically. So we had like a really nice conversation where I said, go away and like, let's not do any, like, let's have you not do that. Like, what a challenge it would be for you to have like 4 days where you're just, it's 4 days off. Mm. And she was like, yeah, I feel so much better. Like, I'm so excited, blah, blah, blah. And then as soon as we hung up the phone, I thought, oh God, now it just came to me and I thought, I have to ring you because I can't think just privately, or I've had a hand in that and we don't announce it and you might be thinking it too.
Which I wasn't in any way.
Which you hadn't even thought of it.
No, not in any way.
But then when I brought it to your attention, it was right?
Yeah, I guess. I think just when you are putting pressure on yourself, anyone else talking about busyness and productivity as well just kind of infuses your mind with just like the huge emphasis on just like, you've got to work, yeah, you've got to work, you've got to be doing more.
And it is the classic thing of like, when you're in a rut and you're lost in life and you're in your 20s, you're looking around thinking, shit, like, I need to get a grip on something. And you kind of forget that everyone else, I forget all the time that everyone else doesn't have a fucking clue what they're doing.
Yeah, exactly. I think we get a lot of messages as well saying, like, yeah, what do you guys think of this? What do you guys think of that? And we love that. We love being able to like work things through with you and help you. But also, we don't have fucking clues. I mean, you telling that story makes me realize how fucking nuts we are. Like, don't come to us for advice. Yeah. We're mad.
Well, no, it's true though, right? But it's also like, do come to us for advice, because I would go to you lot for advice as well. Like,
sure,
you,
yeah,
listening, like, especially if you are around these parts and I know your profile picture and I see your username often. We talk about this all the time, Sefi and I, where we'll look at, someone sent us a lovely message or whatever, and I look at their profile and I think, this is your podcast. Like, this isn't, I'm not the podcast, yeah, gal. This, yeah, is you. Yeah, like, sorry, should I take a step back? Like,
you're amazing.
Fucking killing life. Yeah, you're like iconic. And I'm a mess. Like, oh God, like, don't ever get it twisted in thinking that everyone else has like a plan that's, yeah, working out for them. Their plan is not working. It's fine if yours isn't.
And scrap the plan. I think one of the most stunning things, because also I think this was the biggest thing I fucking have learned from all of this stuff, is that I think what I was searching for in my kind of lostness and kind of fear, I was just completely driven by fear, mm, of just like, I need to be working. I need to be proving to myself that I'm doing the right thing. I'm on the right path.
Yeah.
I felt that I needed to get things in control. You can see where this is going with my classic relinquish control. All control and trust the timing of life.
Yeah, here we go. She's coming. Yeah, yeah.
I've been saying this fucking affirmation for months, and it took me going away.
But now the universe is saying it back to you.
Literally. But I think it's that I was looking so hard for like, okay, if I can do that, if I can get my kind of affairs in order, then I'm going to be on top of things. And what I actually needed to do was fuck up the fucking affairs, throw all the fucking shit in the air, and just realize I'm not in control. I'm literally so clueless in this life, and that is stunning.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I want from life. Literally the only thing I want in life is to be surprised and to be fluid and to be a bit chaotic at all times. I don't want this neat life.
It's like, you're not here to prove a point.
Yeah, and I'm not here to have this neat life of, then at 30 I will be this and at 40 I'll be this. It's like, no, fuck off. You hate those people.
Yeah.
You hate those people.
Well, also because the plan always laughs in our face, so it's kind of learning to actually laugh in the face of a plan before it has the chance to laugh at you.
Yeah, and it's the stuff we've been honestly saying this for so long, but I think it does, I mean, it comes in waves, and confidence, I guess, comes in waves, mm, of some days you are ready to fucking fly, essentially, and some days you're like, no one look at me, I can't. And it doesn't mean to say that I have been really sad in this time. I think, no, I was just feeling,
you're never sad, like, you are sad, but like, it's just crazy.
I'm not a sad person. It's quite weird.
No, you're not. You're never in a low mood.
No. And if I am low, I'll be hysterical. I think I'll go quite hysterical, start laughing.
But it's quite a frantic outburst, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, whatever.
Then it's, we're going to watch Madagascar 2, Escape from Africa.
Yeah.
Whatever. Don't think that is the second.
The spectrum of emotions, yours is like high up. Do you know what I mean? Like, you miss out all the bottom parts. You cut out, like, the sadness.
I think I operate on quite a high frequency generally, but which that can be good because I don't often slip into, like, low periods, but I think I slip into frantic periods very often.
Manic moments.
And someone actually wrote in saying that they often had frantic moments and they would confuse kind of their internalized capitalism with what was actually just bipolar. They got diagnosed with bipolar. It's like, that makes a lot of sense. Like, of course, we're praised for these moments when we're high, where our productivity is really high. But actually, I think it was just so important to me to step back and be like, 4 days, you don't have to do shit. I rejected it big time as well at the beginning.
Well, when I said it, I thought that she's never going to go for this.
And I didn't. I was like, I can't.
Just let's see how this lands. Yeah, I can't. I thought that, but you know how I made it work? You know how I made it work was by saying to you, like, almost like, you can't do this, can you?
It was
like
a challenge.
This is something that you have to beat. Yeah, it was a challenge and you have to win.
You honestly, like a 2-year-old, I'll be so impressed with you if you manage to yeah. 4 whole days.
Now I'm really at, I was honestly, and I said to you, I'm so proud of you for doing that.
Got my validation.
Yeah, it really warmed my heart that you were able, like, it shocked me. I didn't think that you'd be able to, like, take time off of the frenzy, but you really did.
And I really, really did. I really had a blast.
Had a ball.
I'm not even joking.
I wish I was there.
I think I really had a fucking blast. Like, just did so much. I really lived in my life. Like, baked, walked a lot, read a lot, kind of did a lot of yoga, and got someone to cut my hair. Like, I just did shit. Like, I'm learning chess. I've watched The Queen's Gambit,
and everyone's like, Google how to learn chess. It's like, even those things, on the wrong day, I would listen to that list and be like, oh, I can't even do that. Do you know what I mean?
On the right day, I can't do that. I'm saying I haven't done these things in 10 years. Honestly, don't worry. Well, I hope I didn't present that list as too aesthetic, guys.
No, you didn't, but I just wanted to make sure, because I'm just type of, like, you know how it's just like, oh, and I did this and I did that, and it's like, I can't do anything. I'm the worst. Oh, I haven't brushed my teeth in 2 months and I haven't left my bed in a year and I have bed sores. Like, that's fine.
A point that was raised in the DMs that I thought was interesting, and it was just echoed by a million other people. So one said, why does it always have to be creative? And I thought, fuck it, you're right. Why does it always have to be creative? I think there's such an emphasis on what are you creating. But if you're just not someone, I do genuinely think everyone is a creative person, and people that tell themselves they're not creative have bought into that a little bit. But why does it have to be creative? Like, if you like something that is not creating anything, that's absolutely fine.
Someone else said, look, I can't read it word for word, but I remember it.
Yeah.
So that's all you're getting, basically. But it said something along the lines of, like, so if I don't have a hobby and all I, like, the one thing I enjoy is watching Netflix, that's not enough.
Well, I've got it right here. That was my next one. They said, I feel like shit for not having a real hobby because Netflix doesn't feel like a legit hobby because it's not productive.
Yeah.
And I wanted to talk about hobbies as a word.
Yeah.
Hobbycraft. Like, why are we fucking obsessed with hobbies?
When I was little, all I wanted was to live in Hobbycraft.
Yeah, same. To get beads from Hobbycraft.
To get beads.
To get beads. You know, like, what they call it, hammer beads or hammer beads, whatever people...
Oh, I don't know.
You know hammer beads, which you would iron.
Iron on.
And they would make this most disgusting, congealed fucking thing, and you'd do it in, like, the shape of a bird or something.
When I left my school, someone made me, like, one of those in a flower, and it said, like, we'll miss you or something. Like,
oh, I love that. I would love to bring back hammer beads, actually.
Well, shall we? Maybe that should be our merch.
Oh my god, we start Hammer Beads Etsy.
It's a craft set.
And it says, like,
kind of a big, it's a clit. Oh my god.
Oh my god, we make a fucking vulva.
Whoa. Right, don't you dare steal that idea, whoever's listening. Don't you fucking dare.
No one make Hammer Bead vulvas or we'll fucking sue you.
Wow. That's cool, right? All different colours, like, oh my god, different size beads.
Yeah. Different labia, different clits.
Different little templates. Maybe it's a thing where you can take a picture of your own and then we transform that into a template
and we'll hammer bead it.
Oh, we do it for them, right? Yeah,
I thought we were doing the hammer beads.
Maybe it's a bit of a workshop where we all collectively get our vulvas out
and we hammer bead them.
It's a bit of a safety hazard, like hot irons, there's beads everywhere.
I'm already thinking, like get me on Amazon, I'm gonna buy them in bulk. Like, I'm in. Yeah. I'm in on this.
I think there's something in that.
Cool.
Okay, cool. Stay tuned.
something to think
cool,
of.
Cool.
And we'd call it clit crafts or something like that. Like,
yeah, so we'll pick out one of the best clit
words.
We'll work on it.
We'll workshop it, don't worry.
Don't you worry, yeah.
Anyway, hobbies.
Well, and also the creative thing. So I've been saying to you, I've been saying to everyone, I've been going on about this because it's my new favourite thing to say. Now I'll share it with the podcast. Thank God I've got one. That if you've been told, like, oh, you're creative or blah, 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 just even if you live in the society where productivity and creativity and all of these things are just pushed on you, or you were like, oh, you were a gifted kid. Oh my God, like, gifted and talented. Like, wow, like, you're a kind of prodigy child.
How fucked that was even a concept. Gifted and talented.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
My 10-year-old ego should not have been told she was gifted and talented, because I took that and really ran with it.
5 years old with the reading age quote unquote of a 16 year old. I don't see it. Like, let's not do that to children.
Well, you get out of school where you've been told you're gifted and talented, let alone if you're not told that, where does that go?
And no one wants to employ you. Starbucks don't want to hire
exactly.
you.
Exactly. Like,
I fucking hate it here.
He's like, why did that boy dump me then?
But when I was 5, I had the reading age of a 16 year old. It's like, yeah, we don't accept that currency here, actually.
They actually, I'll have you know that I'm a subject champion in drama.
Yeah. So it doesn't mean anything. We don't accept that. Yeah, that's not valid. You can't cash that in here.
That is so embarrassing.
Oh dear. I think it was Michelle Obama that said something like, don't say to children, like, what do you want to be when you grow up? I think it was her. Because it's like, yeah, like, they're literally children and you're already down your throat saying, how are you going to produce?
Yeah.
It's like, you've just put them on a desk with a gun to their head saying, make something and do it well. Just let them live.
Let them watch Scooby-Doo and don't bother them.
And be scrappy for a minute.
Give them an ice cream and don't bother them. Michelle, leave them alone. Oh no, Michelle's not asking. Michelle's saying donut.
Michelle, no, she's...
Michelle,
yeah,
back the fuck off.
Yeah, but it's true. And also, you do... We just all gravitate to speaking to kids like they're kind of mini, like elves in Santa's workshop. Yeah. It's like, what are you gonna make for me? How impressive are you? Oh, not that impressive. Okay, let me move on to your sister.
Dance monkey, ooh, 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 or whatever that song is.
Yeah, perform, clown.
Dance monkey, dance. Is that dance monkey? Yeah.
Yeah,
that's still a thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
been off TikTok for quite a while. I don't know how irrelevant that is.
So my thing that I'm really thinking a lot about at the moment is, if you've been told to be creative and all of these things, blah 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 blah, or when you feel like you're apparently good at something, or something is your calling or your purpose, big quote unquote vibes going on over here, but when that's what you're working with, you've been made to feel like, okay, well, say pottery is your thing.
Potter. Not that you need one, eh?
Not that you need a day.
Potter.
Yeah, say you're a big time Potter. Harry Potter.
Potter. Yeah, we're all thinking it, fuck.
Potter. How long can we do this for? Or whatever. Say painting is your thing. Say poetry is your thing. Say pottery is your thing. The three P's.
The three P's.
And you...
Classically painting, pottery and whatever. Peeing. I don't know what was the other one.
Painting, pottery and
PlayStation.
That's kind of penis, pussy, but the one we're all thinking.
Stephanie, what are you thinking?
Okay, right. So you're in this world, everyone's like, oh, you're this, and you're like, yeah, I am that. I'm good at that. Oh my God, maybe I'm the best at it, blah blah blah. You're made to feel like not only do you have to dedicate your whole life to it, but that you can't go a fucking day without performing it.
Yeah.
It's fine if painting, pottery and poetry is your thing. It's fine if you spend 3 weeks not doing any of that. That's fine. You're made to feel like you have to devote every second of your waking life
to your purpose,
into your gift.
Yeah, no.
This isn't your gift. Your gift is just being here, and you have a right to be here no matter what you decide to do.
And you can choose to never use it. I think that's also the thing of, you can be told your entire life, you're an amazing singer. You can honestly wake up and go, I don't want to sing though.
Yeah, you make that choice all the time.
You don't have to do what everyone wants you to do. And it sounds so basic. You don't have to do this, but it's like, but you don't have to do it. Like, your identity by now, if you've been told you're an amazing singer your whole life, your identity will be very much wrapped up with the fact that you are born to be a singer. You've been given this gift, and how dare you not use it? Fuck gifts. Send it back. Return. Hope you kept the receipt.
Yeah.
Because no. no, no, no. It doesn't bring you joy. It doesn't bring you joy.
Give me a refund. Even if you do want to be a, like, even if you do want to use that, you don't have to prove it to yourself every day by spending all of your hours on it or trying to get as much recognition from it as possible. It's a very fragile way to live. Yes, you can have a gift in something. Yes, you can be amazing at something, but it doesn't have to be all you are. You can do other things, and it's okay if you leave it on the side for a month or two and then come back to it and enjoy it. It doesn't have to be a weapon to, it doesn't have to be something that you use to like validate your existence. It doesn't have to be a tool for recognition.
And measuring how well you're doing at the moment by how much you're doing that. I definitely slip into that of, if I'm in a good phase, it means that I'm writing a lot, for example. Yeah, and if I'm not writing, then it's like, oh, it's because something's going on. But it's like, no, it's not a measure of happiness necessarily. It's not a measure of success. It's just sometimes you go through phases where you want to do something and sometimes you go through phases where you don't want to do it. And that's it.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Especially with the creativity thing, again, someone else said this, Billie Eilish, and I thought that's really interesting. She said growing up in her house, if they were doing something creative, if they were playing an instrument, for example, and they had this like wave of creativity, because that's what it is, like, you're not going to be productive all the time because sometimes things do come and go in waves. But in her house growing up, if they had a wave of creativity, quote unquote, and they were sat like making music, they could stay up, like their bedtime was cut, like it's fine. Like if it's like 9 p.m. and you're supposed to be in bed at 9:30, why don't you just keep playing piano? And then when you're done and you've come to a point where it's over, you can like kind of honor that process. It's not like you have to wake up. No, it's only valid for you to be productive at 9 a.m. until 5 p.m. or, well, really kind of 9 a.m. until 9 p.m. and then you quickly have dinner and go to sleep. It's like, no, just honour your feelings and honour your state of where you are right now and go along with that.
And probably if you're not feeling creative and you're not feeling inspired, you're probably tired. You're probably hungry and tired and you're exhausted from life.
Yeah, what was that thing that you saw that said...
What was it? Because I fucking love it. I have said it in an episode before.
It was like, if you're angry at yourself, you need to eat. And if you're angry at the world, you need to go to sleep. Or maybe it was the other way around.
It was, if you're angry at other people, you're probably hungry. If you're angry at yourself, you're probably tired. Don't know if there's any truth in that. Probably not at all, but I love it. I saw it on TikTok.
Probably not at all, but yeah, it's a nice sentiment. Yeah,
I love it. It's like, yeah, okay, so I'm getting really annoyed and irritable at everyone. Have some food, see how you're doing. Did it help? No, then go to sleep.
Yeah.
But if you're angry at yourself, again, probably have some food and then probably go to sleep. Like, it's fine.
Yeah.
There's probably a reason you're feeling stagnant at the moment. You're struggling to like sit down with yourself and make something. Or even if it's not creative, fuck, why does it have to be creative? Even if it's you want to go roller skating, which believe me, I do.
Yeah.
I'm going to buy some skates.
Have you ordered them yet?
No. I'm trying to get a good deal.
Oh,
I'm
right.
Get a good deal on Depop. But they're at £100.
Jeez.
It's so expensive.
Well, if anyone wants to sponsor us.
Any roller skating companies listening want to give
anyone
us some...
Anyone wants to invest in our Clit Vulva business of beads.
So, I'm out. Personally, I'm out.
It's kind of the vulva clit, like the emporium of clits.
Of beaded clits. Beads are ugly as well. Let's not do beads. Oh, no, they're hammer beads.
Yeah, they are beads, right?
No, they're like weird little tubes. They're like cylinders.
It's almost sequins.
Yeah. You iron them.
It's almost hundreds of thousands.
Yeah.
Delish. Well, oh my God, they're edible.
They're edible clits.
They're edible. Edible vulva something. Don't you dare steal that.
We'll sue. Don't you think we're not afraid to sue?
I will fucking sue you.
We know where you heard this.
Fuck.
If you come out with edible clits, edible vulvas before we do, my lawyers will... My lawyers, how the hell do you get your hands on a lawyer? It's like Google lawyer near me.
Also, it's like we definitely put on the story saying, hi, do any of you who follow us, are you a lawyer? Anyone studying law?
We're trying to sue someone for starting a armor bead business. One that I really liked said, that voice in your head that says you're being lazy when you're actually just taking time for yourself. And I think the interesting bit in this is that it's like, it's a voice in your head, but almost what you think it is like the voice of other people saying you should work more. But there is no one saying that.
No. Even in the wizarding world, Harry, hearing voices isn't a good sign.
She's right, you know. Yeah, that's the crucial bit.
Yeah.
But it's like, you kind of convince yourself, oh, like, the capitalism's really getting me down.
And everyone's telling me I have to do this. It's like, no one said a peep.
No one's, like, when you're watching Netflix, who's there going, you're watching Netflix, are you? Unless you are, that is happening, and that's fucking horrible. But it's like, really, no one's looking at your search history going, God, you've watched a lot of YouTube today. No one's doing that. It's just you. You've internalized this to the extent where you are now your own kind of prison guard.
It's the panopticon.
It is the panopticon, the Foucauldian panopticon, which you should Google. It's a great concept.
I'm sure they know it. And if you don't, that's absolutely fine.
Well, it's stunning. Learned it in first year and it blew my mind. And it continues to do.
And it continues to blow. And it continues to resound.
It does resound heavily. But now it's like you're your own watcher. No one else is watching you. You're now being vigilant on yourself, going, are you doing enough? Are you doing enough? There's no big boss that's coming with his arms folded. Oh, you haven't met the numbers today. It's just you. It's just you stressing out because you don't feel that you're worthy.
It's so fucking true.
That's it.
Yeah, that is it. End of episode.
It's a voice in your head. So change the voice in your head really fucking hard. Don't know how it's done.
Hope this helps.
Hope it helps. Change the voice.
XX.
Bye.
But it's so true.
We've got to find a way to counter our own internal monologues, because if that's the bit that's standing in the way between us being happy and not, and also us creating anything we like, because there's no way I'm making anything I like when I've got this voice in my head going, that's not any good.
You know what I've started doing? Because I know we can do the whole there's a million different examples of changing the voice in your head. Here's one that I'm doing at the moment. And I think it's quite good for me, at least. Maybe it'll be interesting to you.
I'm sure it will be.
When I I'll do something, I'm like pouring a tea and I spill the kettle or whatever. I'm like, oh, you fucking idiot. And then I say, sorry, I didn't mean that. Sorry.
Oh, that's so nice.
Because, yes, like, we all, like, over-apologise, but it's like, yeah, I can change it in my head and say, oh, no, like, whatever, I'm not an idiot. But to apologise to yourself, it's like, sorry, I'm sorry that I just called you that.
Well, it's kind of like suddenly you're apologising to a higher being. Yeah. Like, I'm so sorry. How dare I?
It's like your higher self jumps out and it's like, sorry about what that nutter said to you.
I'm so sorry.
I'm not with it today. Yeah, I'm so sorry. Please, I beg your pardon. Like,
I'm so sorry about the service. She's
new
here.
Yeah, and it's like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. It's, I'm sorry you had to listen to that. Saying you fucking idiot, because I do. I always say, oh, you fucking idiot. And I'm like, you're not an idiot. And I'm sorry that I called you an idiot.
But it is that.
But it's true. You can rewire what you're saying, but how often do you honour yourself enough? Do you think highly of yourself enough to give yourself an apology?
Yeah. It feels extreme.
Because I know we have this thing of like women over-apologise and you need to say like, thank you for your patience rather than sorry for the delay. It's hard to say sorry to somebody and mean it. Like, it's hard. You have to give up your pride. So I think doing it to yourself, you kind of split the dichotomy between over-apologising and actually finding it tough to be like, fuck, I have to hold myself accountable, and just honour yourself enough to be like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that, and you're not an idiot, you're great.
It fucks up the idea of identity as well, because suddenly there are two people, or even three people.
Oh, maybe more. Who knows what's going on in here?
Because there's someone, there's one person who's saying sorry. You're apologising kind of on behalf of someone.
Yeah.
To someone else. There are suddenly three people. So the kind of ego and identity is totally fucked up at that point.
Yeah, it's kind of id. And what's the other one?
Id, ego, and is it subconscious? Someone from psychology is going to be shouting.
Something like that.
I don't know.
Fuck Freud anyway.
Fuck Freud, truly.
he's asking for it. You can't talk about an Oedipus complex and dicks and penis envy that much without asking for it. If anyone's asking for it,
it's Freud, Sigmund Freud.
Identity, right?
It's a mess.
And also, it's true. When I say, oh, you fucking idiot, I'm listening to, I'm not ignoring it. I take that in. So then I'm like, shit, sorry.
Back up a second, yeah.
I didn't mean a word of it. Because I wouldn't talk to anyone else the way that I talk to myself. We say that all the time. It's like, talk to yourself the way that you would talk to, like, a good friend, for example. Someone that you actually don't mind, maybe.
There's a bit in that film, Booksmart, which we saw at the cinema, and we had the most, I would say, beautiful experience. Like, we sat there for hours. We arrived, like, an hour early.
Back when I could be in the same room as you. Just a beautiful experience in itself.
We watched Booksmart, and there's a bit in there where one of the friends, if you haven't seen it, you absolutely have to. One of the friends is talking about herself quite badly. I think she's like, oh, this boy would never fancy me. And the other one's like, how dare you speak about my best friend like that? And it's like, yeah, you're loved so much by so many people.
Yeah.
If they heard you speaking about yourself like that, they would literally say, what are you doing?
It's embarrassing.
How dare you? That's my best friend, by the way, that you're speaking about like that.
What on earth are you playing at?
Or that's my daughter, by the way, you're speaking about like that. Yeah. Can you not? And it's suddenly like, oh shit, I'm a bitch.
Yeah, I'm an asshole. I'm a nightmare to be around.
Yeah, you better believe it.
I'm bad company, that's for sure.
The worst company ever.
I just saw this one and I thought it was quite nice because I think we do need to speak about, I'm going to call it the pandy.
Yeah.
My friend called it the pandy the other day and I thought,
nice.
I'm taking that, the pandy. Just makes it like this kind of extra in my life.
It's kind of Andy Pandy and it's also kind of Kung Fu Panda.
That's exactly what she said, Andy Pandy.
Andy Pandy. Well, you hear pandy and you hear Andy.
Yeah, she said Andy Pandy, something pudding and pie, that thing. And I thought it was Georgie Porgy pudding and pie.
Yeah, she's mixed two things there. There's one thing that's called Andy Pandy.
No, but it is. That was on Google. I googled it. We both googled
what there's it. Andy Pandy, there's never
Andy Pandy pudding and pie. Yeah,
so they've mixed Georgie Porgy pudding and pie, kissed the girls and made them cry, the little rapist
made them cry. Yeah, but Andy Pandy was something, he kissed the girls and made them sigh and he was gonna leave and they wanted him to stay or something. I don't know. They love that they, or that they hate, I don't know, but they said that they needed a whole pandemic, a whole pandy, to realize that they don't need to be busy to be happy. And I think the pandy has given us all different, it's kind of taken us all for a spin in different ways in terms of productivity, because I think we've gone, I was going to do it on the poll when we put out the stories asking you guys for your thoughts on productivity, because you are the backbone of this community. Fuck, what was I gonna say? Something boring, probably.
No, go on. No, say sorry to yourself. Say sorry to yourself now.
Yeah, sorry. Fuck, didn't mean
that's
that.
That's my best friend,
sorry.
By the way.
Yeah. So sorry. That's, yeah, you're right. So sorry about that. Oh, so I was going to ask on the story, is baking banana bread productive? Yes or no?
That's so fascinating. Yeah.
Because remember, so about a year ago now, when the pandemic was beginning, you were speaking to somebody and they said, you were like, oh, what have you been up to? Blah, blah, blah. And they were like, oh, like, I've been really productive. And you were like, oh, what have you been doing? And they said, oh, I've been going for a walk. I've been baking. I've been like listening to it. I've listened to a podcast, blah, blah, blah. And it's all about mindset.
It's perception.
Because you had said, oh, I'm not being productive at all, but you've been doing the exact same thing. So it's your mindset.
I remember being in that conversation and thinking, fuck, like that's me on a day where I'm angry at myself. Like, how sad is that I couldn't enjoy that stunning day as it was, because I would be...
You convinced yourself it wasn't enough.
Funny how I'm having the exact same problems a year later.
Oh God, that's miserable, isn't it? Yeah.
Clearly I never learn. To me, that is not a successful day, because I've got a fucked, skewed mindset of what have I got to show for it. Actually, no, you've got fucking banana bread, you've got the fun of the walk, you've probably spent time with your dog, like, it's nice, it's a nice day. That's a nice day. That's a day of, to be honest, dreams.
A day of dreams.
A day
yeah,
of
absolutely
dreams. That is what dreams are made of. Hey now. Sing to me, Paolo.
So in sync.
So in sync.
We lip sync better than Paolo does.
when he sings as well, it's crazy out of tune. But he goes, this is my dream. It's like, wait, you didn't have to go that extreme. Like, the director's like, whoa.
The director's like, I don't think we've made it clear enough that he can't sing. He's like, really lay it on thick, Paolo.
Paolo, go
really
more.
Really lay it on thick.
This is my dream.
I don't want any confusion here. Our target audience is 8-year-olds. This needs to be obvious.
So Paolo, make it bad. And when I say bad as you can go. And he really pulled it off. It is so, so bad.
He really pulled it out of the bag. That was a strong performance.
Yeah, it was. Paolo. Did you fancy Gordo? Sorry, off topic. Did you used to fancy Gordo?
Yes, I did. Did you?
Yeah, big time.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on. Did everyone else fancy Gordo?
I bet they did.
Yeah, everyone fancied Gordo.
He's not like other girls.
Honestly, Gordo was not like other girls.
That's kind of our type, is not like other girls. Do you know what I mean?
Sort of.
I think I've shaped a lot of my identity. Growing up, at least, it's like I had the security of knowing that the boy that I fancied was kind of a bit rogue,
yeah,
a bit of an offshoot.
Yeah.
And it gives you kind of feel good for it. You're like, yeah, like, I'm not like other girls because I fancy people who are not like other girls.
But also it's kind of...
so bizarre.
If you fancy the weirdo and you got to believe, well... I definitely feel like I do, some of the people I go for.
We do, yeah.
It's like, kind of, you know they feel lucky. It's like, I know you're fucking
exactly,
lucky,
yeah.
Mate.
It's kind of the most obscure way to validate yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Is to convince yourself that in this hypothetical universe that you're together, everyone's looking at you thinking, wow, how's he pulled that off? She's way too good for him. It's like, none of this exists, by the way. And you've been in a maths lesson for 45 minutes and you haven't taken it in. No wonder you don't know your times tables.
No wonder trigonometry is still, honestly, mythology to you.
Doesn't make sense to you.
Because you're fantasizing about Fred and George, but it's like this weird thing where it's like, well, you could have Harry, you could have Ron, you could have main characters, but you've gone for the obscure of the obscure.
Even Ron.
He's not fit, is he? I think Ron's fit.
He absolutely is.
Absolutely.
You know, I think he is.
Don't talk about Rupert like that.
In kind of 2003.
Apologize.
It's like, it's almost like, oh, you're doing them a favor. It's like, you're seen as quite a good person. Yeah. It's quite a thing like, oh, she's so great. Like, she doesn't see people. Like, she.
Charity work.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, she's doing her charity work
by dating the slightly weird guy. But then it's like, but then it becomes a bit where you actually do like the weird guy, because now I can't see anything more attractive than kind of James Acaster.
I was watching something of his the other day and I thought, wonder if Steffi would like that. He was in a polo top.
I wouldn't like
playing
it
the drums.
That ruins it entirely.
I kept it from you. It was during your break. I hid it from you and kept it from you, and I thought, I hope she doesn't see that. Because it will ruin the kind of the illusions of him being so great.
We haven't spoken about my polo top thing yet, I don't think.
Have we not?
But I mean, we'll get to it. But I do have a crippling phobia.
Well, there's not much to say. She doesn't like polo tops.
No, it's not that I don't like them.
It's covered. Consider it covered.
Consider it covered. But it's not just a dislike.
Yeah.
It's like,
it's a fear. Well, on your calendar.
Let's not even go into the calendar.
Okay. I love that we do this. Anyway.
Yeah. Same. I love that we do this. It's fucking bizarre.
This person said, and I loved it.
Love.
They said, not letting myself appreciate my successes because instead I'm thinking, what next? So ingrained in me. Yeah, you and whose army?
Honestly, every other person on this planet.
Ingrained in all of us.
It's so true. It's the thought that you can not only... You're told not to appreciate, not even told it. You don't appreciate your present. You don't appreciate your past. The only thing that seems to carry any worth is your future, this mystical future that will be so amazing, like this weird promised land, when actually your present's pretty good and your past was pretty good. It's just like the emphasis on the future is so mad.
Yeah, it's not good, is it?
You might not make it. Like, we all might not make it.
God. Touch wood. I'm touching wood for all of you.
It's not looking good for Earth, is it?
I hope we all make it to our clit workshop.
Same. And then after that, we may all depart this Earth.
Die. That's the most important thing, is that we make it there. After that, nothing else matters.
We're always planning for the future when actually what you've got now is pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure when you add it all up and you look around, even if you're there thinking, I don't have anything, I'm telling you right now, you will have things that your past self wanted so fucking badly.
Yeah, I love that. Looking around and thinking, God, I wanted that, now I've got it. And I wanted that, and now I've got it. And I wanted that, and now I've got it. And it's like, it's nice to have that fleeting moment where you can hold yourself accountable to that thought and try and feel, muster up, if you can, a little
any
bit
feeling
of gratitude for it. Yeah, exactly.
Muster up some happiness.
It's true. Because also, and it comes back to that classic thing of attaching so much happiness and worth to, as you say, this future that hasn't happened yet. But it's kind of this thing of like, well, once I get that, I'll be happy. You know what? Someone said to me recently, if I had your body, I would never complain. And I was like, well, you would.
This poor
you would
person.
Complain. Trust me, you would. Yeah, right? You would.
Oh, God.
Laugh in your face, you would complain. I know for a fact you would complain.
Because also that puts you in the position where you're kind of like, I'm sorry. I'm ever so sorry. I'll never say a word.
I'll never complain again.
You won't hear a peep.
Honestly, it couldn't be me. Oh, you know I'm complaining. But it's also the thing that Sophie and I, you and I talk about this all the time of, even if we bring it down to like this podcast, this is one thing that like, I wish you could see the smile on my face, but unfortunately podcasts like don't work like that apparently. But
this is why, maybe I won't say.
No, don't even say
we
it.
We won't say, we might leave that in though. Ooh,
oh,
you're thinking what's going on?
Oh, you're thinking something's coming soon, but it's really not because we're trapped far away in a pandy. Don't know if you are, but we are. But it's the classic thing of like, this podcast is one thing in life that I'm so fucking grateful for. And like to have you listening now, I'm so grateful for it. But if I were to think like a couple of years ago, like, okay, wouldn't it be amazing if you had a podcast and people would listen and you and Sophie would get to talk all the time and record it as a podcast and it would be great and people would listen? I'd be like, whoa, oh my God, like this overwhelming like buzz, shit. Oh my God, like that would feel amazing. Like then I've done it when someone actually listens. And then you get it and it feels amazing, but it doesn't feel the way that you thought it did. You can't access the happiness because you haven't given yourself permission to ever be happy with what you've done.
Yeah.
It's never going to be enough.
Exactly. You can feel it. But can you feel it? Like there are many, many days. I remember we were in a taxi going to an event that we were speaking at. And I remember us being like, I can't feel a thing. I literally can't feel a fucking thing. Numb inside.
Can't feel a fucking thing. Honestly, numb as a...
numb thing.
Numb as a...
numb as my mouth. When I've never been to the dentist to do anything like that. But numb as those videos where people have that numb thing in their mouth. I don't know what that is.
I was more so thinking like numb as a vagina, like after kind of... or like kind of numb as a clit after being womanized for like 2 hours. Like kind of...
I like it. That's more topical.
Brutalizing your vulva.
Rather than a sort of 2004 video on YouTube of someone at the dentist.
Viral video.
Nice. Yeah. I'm thinking kind of...
numb as a clit after kind of being fingered for like 2 hours.
Nice, that's way more topical.
Thank you.
But we were sitting in that taxi about to speak at an event. If you told us that like even like 3 months before, we'd be screaming. But we were sitting there going,
we could feel something, but it's not the feeling that...
but it wasn't happiness.
Yeah, it's not happiness.
It wasn't pride.
No.
It wasn't happiness. It wasn't success. It wasn't anything like that. And even now, like it's the exact thing. If you told me years ago I'd have this, brilliant. But even a week ago, I had to get out because I couldn't feel a thing and I was taking it so for granted and feeling like I was losing myself. And I do think meeting milestones isn't what you think it's going to be. It's not going to feel like you imagine where you have this grand like sense of achievement. You're still going to be climbing and you're still going to be feeling a bit like, what? Like, this is life. Scam.
It's kind of that Christmas Day feeling. So we've had kind of the whole of this season to prepare for this day. And like sometimes, you know, at 9 p.m. you might feel a bit excited, but by 9:05 you're like, oh, I don't feel festive at all. And it's kind of clouded by all of your anticipation and pressure and past ideas of what you would have wanted. And
what you want Christmas to feel like and how you will feel on Christmas morning.
Yeah. And there's so much pressure that you... there's so much pressure. We're in Prussia. There's so much pressure that you can't feel a thing. And then before you know it, it's fucking Boxing Day. Then it's Seffi's birthday and you're on to the next.
And that is a bleak day.
And boy, that is a bleak day.
For everyone involved.
But it just, you know, before you know it, the day's over. Before you know it, that thing you wanted so bad has already been and gone. And you didn't allow yourself to feel a thing because you were too hung up on, well, what am I going to do? What am I doing for New Year's Eve? And it's never good enough.
And it's never good enough. Nothing you ever do will be good enough unless you actually sit in feelings and think, what am I grateful for? And the idea of a gratitude practice is so cringe, just like the affirmation appreciation thing. But
unfortunately, the cliches work.
When you actually start to look at what you're grateful for, things become very small and life becomes very small. And it's almost like the things you're grateful for are that your radiators work and that your tea is still really hot and that you have new socks that you washed yesterday and they're really fluffy. And like, it's really small things.
Oh my God, nothing better than a fresh sock going where no foot has ever gone before. So stunning.
One sock to rule them all. Two socks. One sock is quite bad. Two socks.
Kind of Dobby. Dobby's a free elf. Like, you're kind of looking through Dobby's gratitude journal. He's like,
free elf.
I'm grateful for this one sock.
Free elf. Free elf, everyone. Free elf. One of it is literally, Dobby's a free elf. One sock. And Harry Potter's my friend.
It's kind of covered in blood. He's been beating himself up with it.
With a little ironed hands. Do you know the crazy bit in that? When he's like, you lost me my servant. And then he goes, Avada. And he's going to kill him.
He's going to kill him. He's going to absolutely blow his little nut off.
He's going to murder a child because he gave an elf a sock. Nutter.
You know what's also interesting is one of those lines was improvised. He says, I hope Mr. Potter will always be around to save the day or something like that. And Daniel Radcliffe replies, Don't worry, I will.
Oh, shivers.
Ah, my king of life.
God, I've actually got fucking full body shit.
Tiny little baby, like simultaneously my husband and my child all in one go.
I don't understand. Yeah, it's a real Madonna Hall complex that you feel with Daniel Radcliffe. It's kind of like, yeah. I don't know where I stand. I've watched you grow up, but as an adult, you are fit in a weird way.
But also, I know you're older than me.
But I'm watching you younger.
But now when I watch you... You're a baby, isn't that funny? Anyway, you're immortalised at 10, forever.
Forever.
Anyway, sorry that Daniel Radcliffe will never be anything other than Harry Potter, and sorry that that franchise was ruined by a transphobic nightmare.
Nightmare. And I'm sorry that we reference that every episode.
All the time. Sorry.
Sorry, but it is in our brains.
Big sorry vibes.
I'm so sorry.
Goes without saying. Also, a lot of people said it doesn't make space for, like, productivity doesn't make space for mental health issues. There's always a pressure to be productive, which is difficult for people who suffer with things such as depression.
Yeah.
Agree. Someone else said that, I thought it was quite funny. Funny in a kind of cutesy millennial Gen Z kind of way. They said, I always think it's the lack of structure that gives myself depression. Then I give myself structure and the depression remains with sparkles around it. And it's like, yeah, it's true. It's true. Productivity doesn't account for you to be a human, basically. It treats you like a machine. You're kind of the mass production line, but you're not.
This is the thing. You're not. And that obviously sounds so obvious. You're not a robot. You are a human. We know. But when you really embody that and just think, I'm a human, therefore I'm allowed to sleep. I'm allowed to eat when I'm hungry. I'm allowed to not be fucking working all day. I'm allowed to watch TV. I'm allowed to talk to my friends. I like to go out, blah, blah, blah.
I'm allowed to be kind of struggling with this. Like, it's no surprise that I'm putting all of this shame and guilt and pressure on myself because I'm human, right? So yes, like, I don't have to do any of these things, but also I'm not angry at myself for falling into this routine of feeling like I always have to be productive and feeling like I can't rest and feeling like I'm not worthy, because that's what humans do.
It's not a nice bit of life. I think this is just one of my big things at the moment, but chaos is a ladder, as they say in Game of Thrones. But chaos is fun. Chaos is an exciting place to exist within sometimes. Obviously, order is nice, but also...
Order?
We weren't made to live in order. Like, this weird society. It's like, actually, it's really nice to wake up without schedule. And I know at the moment there is no schedule for a lot of people, and that is stressful. But it's something about finding... the joy within the freedom is quite liberating, of just like, you can do whatever, and that might mean that you watch Netflix all day. That's not that bad. But it also might mean that you can do all these things that you've never explored before, and you don't know where life is going. No one knows where life is going. And also, kind of spoiler alert, the people that look like they've got all their, like, sort of things in order, their life is going to get fucked up at many times.
They can't feel a thing.
One, they can't feel a thing like the rest of us. Two, that is all going to get scrapped, and it's going to go down a completely, completely different path. They just can't see that yet. Of course it will.
Yeah.
So just embrace the madness of it all. Embrace the not knowing, and, like, just sit comfortably with, like, this weird, like, sort of quiet... This is what I'm getting at. Sorry.
No, it's gorgeous. No, I love it. Indulge us in the beauty of your voice.
Oh, thank you so much. Oh, just in my voice.
she can't even sing, they both say together as they walk through the thing.
Okay, so I watched a transformational thing on the Headspace Netflix thing. Andy, the monk.
Hi, I'm Andy.
We made this exact joke in the last episode. Scratch it.
Welcome to Headspace.
I used to be a monk, we said in the last episode. And now I own an app. I'm a capitalist, I think we said. Andy was talking about the idea of quiet confidence, about not trying to build up your confidence with, okay, so what have I got around me? I've got a great family, great boyfriend, great friends, and I've got also this job that's good, and I look like how I look, blah, blah, and I feel confident. That's meaningless. I'm sorry, but your confidence is a facade. Scrap all of it. Who are you without that? And accepting that you actually really have nothing other than yourself. There's nothing really other than this moment that you have. Can you be confident in that moment? It's the idea of quiet confidence, not ego confidence. And that really, really has stuck with me, of just like, it's not about these achievements and being like, oh, I can be confident when I have these things. It's about on your own, doing nothing. You've been playing Sims all day. You've been eating shit food all day, or you've been walking all day, it's not glamorous, you're in the bath. How do you feel? Can you feel good then? I don't know.
It's completely pulls us back to where we started. If none of this was visible to others, would you still be content in it? If your day-to-day wasn't something that you could monetize or publicize, would you still be happy with it?
It's a good question to ask. Good question.
Good question to leave you with. Oh, also, there was quite a groundbreaking thing, sorry, not to end it, but Jordan Firstman, my king, put a thing up that someone else had said, but I'm just going to credit him because I love him. It was definitely said by a woman, but let's just give all the credit to a man. He said something along the lines of, your creative thing, no matter how much time, energy, hours, love you pour into it, it can never love you back. It can never give you the security or the validation or the success, quote unquote, the feeling that you think it's going to grant you. It can't. It's an inanimate thing. So only you can validate yourself. Everything I once desired from others, I give to myself. Now, people,
now.
Right now.
Oh my God.
Life changing.
Now, we're all doing it now.
Now.
Everything
I everything. Once desired right from others. Yeah, I just give that to myself now. Now.
Because chances are you weren't actually striving for things, you were striving for feelings. So give yourself those feelings.
Oof. Now. Bars. Now.
Now, bitch.
Now. Now.
Not then. Now.
Now. Stunning.
Okay, let's go now before we just shout, because otherwise the episode will just be us shouting now for about 2 minutes.
Let's go now. Now.
Yep. Okay.
Now. Let's go now. Okay. See you at the Vulva Workshop.
Right. See you next week.
God, you're sad to be saying goodbye.
I don't know what. I don't know what's come over me.
You've got a real sad face on your face.
Do I? See you next week. No, it's because I was preparing to do a joke where at the end I would go, see you next week now, and then I would click end. But I'll do that now.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.